City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman? Sten? Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 37, adopt the recommendations contained within the Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape plan, Ross Island Bridgehead to 92nd Avenue.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. This afternoon, we're going to hear from the fine PDOT team about the key concerns about Inner Powell Boulevard from the Ross Island Bridgehead to around
92nd Avenue.
92nd Avenue, and recommendations to address the issues. We appreciate ODOT's willingness to pursue and help fund what you'll see today in terms of the streetscape plan. We want to acknowledge the hard work and dedication of many community members who contributed to this project, particularly the members of the Powell Citizens Working Group. Thank you. This item had to be rescheduled because of a lengthy council item that bumped it earlier, so we lost a lot of citizens who could participate. Some of the highlights today are the need for safety improvement for all modes, but particularly pedestrians and cyclists, who are our most vulnerable users. Powell Boulevard must function for all travelers by all modes without compromising motor vehicle traffic and freight movement. And another key issue here is maintenance and our hope to address the significant maintenance issues on Powell and as we seek to do it throughout the city. Mm-hmm. So, April, are you going to start?
Thank you, Commissioner Adams and members of the council. Again, my name is April Bertelson with the Portland Office of Transportation, and I have with me Ross Kevlin from Oregon Department of Transportation. I'll provide an overview presentation, and then Ross will add a few comments at the end. So I will be presenting to you the Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape plan and recommendations for your adoption today. Again, it's from the Ross Island Bridgehead to 92nd Avenue was our project area. I'll give you an overview presentation of background information as well as a summary of the preferred plan and some recommendations for future study, and then an update on implementation efforts, and finally the staff recommendations. Background. Quick project overview. This project to develop a streetscape plan was partially funded by a Transportation and Growth Management grant, which is sponsored by the Oregon Department of Transportation and Department of Land Conservation and Development, along with some PDOT matching funds from Ross Island Bridgehead to 92nd Avenue, which is just west of I-205. Our project team included PDOT staff and ODOT staff, particularly because this is a state highway and we share jurisdiction, as well as a consultant team comprised of Parametrics, Nevunon, and Alta Consulting. Oops. As I mentioned, Powell is designated Highway 26, Mount Hood Highway. Therefore, jurisdiction and maintenance responsibilities are shared between the city and the state. Ownership and control of the right-of-way also varies throughout the city area. To generalize, or in summary, from the Ross Island Bridge to 86th Avenue, it is city public right-of-way, and ODOT maintains generally curb-to-curb and some other specific roadway elements such as structures, signage, and the city is typically responsible for the curb and outside of it and landscape medians. East of 86th out to the city limits at 174th, it is a state-owned fee simple right-of-way, and ODOT has full ownership, control, and maintenance responsibility. So you may ask, why Powell? Why now? Really, the impetus for the plan came from the community, concerns about safety, accessibility, and the aesthetic environment along Powell Boulevard for pedestrians, transit riders, and cyclists. And addressing their concerns is really supported by existing policy and the transportation system plan, including identification for the need for a streetscape plan, which I'll highlight later. And it came about during ODOT's recent phase one of their preservation project, which is a paving project, standard maintenance. And the community became quite vocal in saying, you need to do more than just pave here. And ODOT had agreed to do some spot improvements to improve some pedestrian crossings with some islands and various improvements. And that was during phase one, which was Ross Island to 50th Avenue. Their next phase of the preservation project is scheduled for 2009, I believe. They're in design now. And the idea was that the state acknowledged the value of doing a streetscape plan and that we could hopefully identify some short-term improvements that could be incorporated into their preservation project. So that was part of our goal. I will highlight some of the community concerns. One, that Powell Boulevard is a barrier between neighborhoods to the north and the south of Powell. It's difficult and unsafe to cross Powell Boulevard when walking and biking. This is also further demonstrated by during my time as project manager of this project, there have been two pedestrian fatalities along Powell Boulevard within the study area, and that's within the last year and a half. Just today, I learned that a woman died on Powell on Monday. She's 80 years old. Joan Catherine Blake was crossing at about 80th, and that happened at Monday at 5:30. So safety is truly a concern along Powell Boulevard. Another issue is problematic is the underpass at 17th Avenue, where the railroad currently crosses and Powell goes underneath it. It creates a significant barrier in combination with the railroad tracks. The crossings, either under or over the railroad tracks, all of them are not currently meeting ADA standards and are inhospitable. Some more key concerns. Significant traffic congestion. If any of you have been driving on Powell during rush hour, you'll know that it can back up. Drivers then speed and cut through the neighborhoods. There's maintenance issues, including street trees that are missing or in poor health, and additional maintenance issues that are exacerbated by our series of cuts in our maintenance bureau's budget. Also, to provide some more context, like a little history of Powell Boulevard, it was originally a farm-to-market road connecting Portland with early farm communities. I believe it was named after one of those farmers by the name of Powell out in Gresham. It was designated Highway 26, Mount Hood Highway. The Ross Island Bridge was built in 1926. And prior to 1980s, Powell was generally a four-lane road, two lanes in each direction, with sidewalks and parking allowed during the off-peak hours in the outside lane. Until the mid-70s, the South Pacific Railroad crossed Powell at grade, and the photo before you will show you what that intersection used to look like. And I understand it backed up a lot. Then, in 1969, the corridor following Division and Powell was adopted for the Mount Hood Freeway. And 1976, following strong community opposition, plans were formally dropped for the Mount Hood Freeway and replaced an alternative approach. And that included the Powell Boulevard streetscape, or Powell Boulevard project was really to turn Powell into a boulevard. And along with the Banfield Light Rail project and I-205 freeway and busway, which is now being constructed as a light rail alignment. And so those were built with the money that had been targeted for the freeway, along with some special zoning and development code that was developed in the early 80s to support the boulevard treatment and help to mitigate for the noise and support the businesses to go there. Today, a little bit more community context. The land uses along Powell are generally commercial, often auto-oriented. There's restaurants, grocery stores, services. Multifamily housing along Powell, as well as just off, and single-family homes. Schools and parks. Powell is often congested with average daily traffic as high as 56,000 cars just east of the bridgehead, and then dropping down to about 30,000 as you get east of 62nd. Powell Boulevard is luckily well served by transit, and there is now no on-street parking, only a series of parking lots that were built during the Boulevard project. The character of Powell really differs east of 50th and west of 50th, so I'll give you a quick descript of that. This is an example between 26th and 36th Avenue where you really have two lanes in each direction, a center turn lane, narrower sidewalks, about 10 feet, and that's west of 50th. When you get east, there's a photo demonstrating it at about 47th that are existing school crossing. And then east of 50th, the right-of-way widens, and part of that was from acquisition from the Mount Hood Freeway. There was an additional right-of-way where then they built a more of a boulevard treatment, and there was extensive landscaping medians, bus pullouts, parking lots for public use, and sound walls to buffer the neighborhood along the south. And those parking strips range from 8 foot to all the way to 21 feet wide, which is quite generous. There's an example of it in a photo showing you what that looks like. As I mentioned, a policy in our current transportation system plan supports development of the streetscape plan. All of the modal classifications are consistent with the project objectives. There are multiple projects already identified in our TSP for streetscape plan from the bridgehead to 50th Avenue, as well as bikeway improvements from 72nd to 92nd, and ITS throughout the corridor, and that is intelligent transportation system improvements. And it's also consistent with our new Green Street policy. So the project goal is to develop a streetscape plan that identifies improvements in the right-of-way to enhance safety and the multimodal environment, and is supported by the community, city, and ODOT. Just to summarize some of the objectives, balance is really a key word. It needs to balance the transportation demands competing for PAL, including local and through auto traffic, trucks, transit, pedestrians, and cyclists. Improve safety for all travelers by all modes. Enhance opportunities to walk and bike and take transit. Improve pedestrian and bicycle crossings of PAL, as well as the environment along PAL. Doing this while preserving the motor vehicle capacity to continue to serve local and through traffic, and mitigate impacts, the negative impacts of high traffic volumes on the neighborhoods, and incorporate stormwater management practices. To help us reach these objectives, we worked with extensively with the community, most notably the Powell Citizen Working Group, which actually had formed prior to our streetscape planning efforts. There had been a community group that pulled together with representatives from just about all of the neighborhoods that were abutting Powell. And they had been quite vocal during the preservation project. And so we acknowledged that group and started that as the base for our own city's group to as a part of the streetscape planning process, and then invited more neighborhood representatives as well as modal representatives, pedestrians, bicycle, and freight representatives. Met monthly along with as well as technical advisory group. We had a series of neighborhood walks on Powell to identify some of the needs and issues, and a community workshop. And three public open houses held at key points in the process for informing and gathering information, and a project website. There's a graphic before you displays each step of the process and the points at which we brought in public for input. And together we came up with a preferred plan, which I'll now summarize. First, to address congestion, and this helps to actually make some of the other improvements all the more possible. Maximize the intersection capacity that we have today so that we don't need to widen with ITS measures throughout the corridor, and update antiquated signal hardware between 52nd and 90th and 72nd so that we can better coordinate our signals and communicate with them. And then coordinate them in segments, as recommended by our traffic engineers, from Milwaukee to 72nd, and then 82nd, and then 82nd through I-205. The plan also identifies specific intersection improvements, such as lane configuration and signal phasing, to help reach the regional standards for level of service and volume to capacity.
Excuse me just a minute. It says coordinate signals. What does that mean?
That would mean where the signals actually work in concert with one another. You could either have them sequence to progress, or you can change them at time. And this is really probably a good question for a traffic engineer to answer in more detail. But it enables us to change them based on traffic conditions to remotely. Currently, some of our signal hardware does not allow for that on PAL.
So the purpose is to improve the flow and not have prevent gridlock. I use Powell a lot, so I'm familiar with the traffic patterns there, which are sometimes stationary. And so it'd be interesting to see what how do you plan to actually mitigate that. And I know that you say coordinate the traffic signals, but how does that work?
Well, I'm not going to say that we will dramatically transform PAL Boulevard by upgrading our signal hardware and coordinating it, but our traffic engineers did do extensive modeling, and this is the state's interest as well, and look at what could we do to improve the capacity, and then they recommended a series of ways that if you get the signal timing in certain ways that you could get traffic moving more, as well as changing lane configuration. There were some things to tighten up, but we could only do so much of that with the current hardware. And so in order to meet some of their recommendations, we would have to update the hardware. And I don't have those in detail, but they're in the appendix, which I could highlight. But it helps to squeeze a little bit more capacity in terms of the timing and allowing us to adjust with conditions more real time, as well as giving with ITS, it gives drivers more information and feedback, then they can adjust their pattern. So it is probably the more efficient tool, and as opposed to going to adding lanes and taking property, it helps us get a little bit more capacity, as well as options such as giving bus priority preemption. And continuing on, additional improvements, sidewalk improvements. We had identified some short-term and long-term sidewalk improvements, particularly west of 50th, and then different ones that are slightly different east of 50th. And the long-term improvements are likely to be implemented through the development process and the permitting process, where we would get additional right-of-way dedication to get 12-foot sidewalks. And this would happen independent of this project, given current practices, but this helps to identify what those improvements would be and firm up what we are our current practice. And the short-term improvements are what we could do until we have a full 12-foot sidewalk, because currently it is only 10 feet west of 50th. We'd also add more ADA-accessible curb ramps where deficient, enlarge tree wells and replace missing trees. Currently they're very small. And widen the sidewalk corridor to the minimum 12 feet through dedication. And then incorporate stormwater management facilities in the furnishing zone once it is wide enough where it's feasible. And then pervious pavers in other locations. And the key thing is to maintain a wide enough through pedestrian area. In addition, and this is probably one of the key pieces, is add 6 new enhanced marked crosswalks at unsignalized intersections. They include mid-block enhanced crossings, which are illustrated, and intersection enhanced crossings. And this was identified as one of the top priorities within the citizen working group. And the key, one of the key pieces about that is providing the median refuge and rebuilding it to be accessible, providing overhead signage. And we're still working with the state on identifying specifically what improvements are appropriate on Powell Boulevard. But this at least lays out conceptually the where and what kind of improvements we will try to work on. In addition, there are several existing marked crosswalks, and we identify some improvements at those existing ones to provide a more consistent treatment throughout the corridor. As well as the plan proposes adding two new pedestrian and bicycle activated signals near 57th and near 79th Avenue. And we're interested in pursuing different treatments that, whether it's our Hawk signal, which we already have piloting, or other pedestrian activated signals or beacons. To further improve the pedestrian and bicycling and transit environment, there are recommendations for relocating bus stops to coordinate with the MART crossings and to close some of the bus pullouts. TriMet was a part of our team and had identified as this is something they would like to do, and they will be pursuing that. Enhance pedestrian and bicycle crossings at key signalized intersections and improvements at focus opportunity areas, which I'll highlight a couple. The first focused opportunity area is between 7th and 10th Avenue. It's really a gateway coming in off the Ross Island Bridge into the neighborhoods. And so the various treatments, including medians with trees, rounding out the corners, and make it sort of set the tone. Another key focus opportunity area is Milwaukee and Powell. And this the preferred plan would reintroduce a marking the crosswalk on the east leg of the intersection. Currently today there is not. It's a prohibited pedestrian crossing. So this would reintroduce that, as well as change the lane configuration and widen the sidewalk on the south side where the bus stop is, where it's currently quite narrow. And various other improvements. Focused opportunity area also between 22nd and 26th Avenue, which would introduce more medians with street trees, curb extensions, stormwater planters, and configuration of some of the parking on cross streets. Other focus opportunity area is 71st and 72nd, which these two signals work together, coordinated, and so we would do more to make these intersections better for all users, including addressing some vehicle safety issues on 72nd and pulling back parking. Stormwater management, we try to incorporate, there's spirit of incorporating stormwater management facilities wherever feasible. There's more information that needs to be known in the details of exact locations, but we do identify many opportunity areas in coordination with BES. And then kinds of facilities, such as in the sidewalk furnishing zone, curb extensions, and then locations such as Milwaukee intersection, 28th and 92nd. Street trees. There was strong community desire to have more street trees on and near Powell Boulevard. So we identified locations for adding them in medians as well as along the sidewalk, and also encouraging them on cross streets. Some key considerations that need to be balanced in doing this. The community desire for a tree canopy over Powell, as well as introducing diversity to our urban canopy. But also there's new ODOT design guidelines for locating street trees, and so we need to reconcile with those. And there's freight community concerns about trees conflicting with trucks, and so try to get an appropriate species. And we also have a very limited maintenance budget, so we need to be thinking that through as well. Maintenance is a reoccurring theme. The plan recommends working with Bureau of Maintenance as well as property owners and business owners and community groups to address maintenance issues, perhaps adopting landscaped areas. We currently have a program for doing that with a couple of examples and already at work. And there's various improvements that are identified in terms of trying to better address. Currently, our maintenance bureau is able to get out there twice a year to do maintenance with county crews. And really, just to step back on that, some of the issues that are associated, the maintenance issues, come out from projects when it was built during the early 80s Boulevard project and the 70s, for example, with the underpass. And you could say that the design solutions of the 70s aren't really serving us today, and given our community needs. Finally, the plan includes pursuing some transportation demand management. This is really the goal, to try to reduce the number of trips trying to take a single occupant vehicle and instead increase biking, walking, and transit. We currently have several smart trip programs through our transportation options division, and so this would be recommending one along Powell Boulevard. There's a few recommendations for further study that I'll quickly run through. These are items that really came up during the plan, but go beyond our scope of work or what we could achieve. We wanted to capture them for further recommendations. One item, though, we had several recommendations for the railroad underpass at 17th Avenue, but we're recommending further study of this issue. It's quite complex. Our opportunity for that is the South Corridor study currently underway to extend light rail from downtown to Milwaukee. That project does provide an opportunity to try to improve pedestrian and bicycle circulation and connections. So we'll be working with staff on those projects to try to incorporate some improvements. There's also some short-term improvements that are recommended, including mirrors, which we're trying to working with the state now to get some mirrors to improve sight lines, as well as we recommend murals, lighting, and a more police patrol.
Before you move on,
yes. There,
can I ask you about that? I'm a little confused because I've heard you mention also in the presentation about the lack of bicycle access because of the underpass, but there's no access for bicycles anywhere from the bridgehead to 72nd. Along Powell. And I was just curious, I was going to ask you this later, but since this is here and in this context, you mentioned widening the sidewalks 2 feet. I was wondering why you hadn't considered creating bike lanes instead of widening the sidewalks 2 feet.
We did look at could we fit bike lanes and within the existing curb to curb, and then in terms of whether or not you could add bike lanes, it would require additional right of way. It is something that could be done.
How are you going to expand the sidewalks 2 feet?
Through dedication. It would have to be property owners dedicating 2 feet in order to get a wider sidewalk, and we would leave the curb where it's at today.
So you'd go away from the street?
Yes, yes. And so to build bike lanes that full length, you would need to rebuild the curb. That it would be very expensive, but I would
highlight. I guess that just brings it back to how I don't understand the concern with the underpass and bikes, given that you can't ride a bike down Powell as it is now.
Well, you can, but it's very difficult. Me too.
I'm telling you, as a practical matter, you can't.
I agree. It's not a safe feeling. One important consideration is that Powell is designated a bikeway from Ross Island to I believe it's 9th Avenue, so connecting off Ross Island Bridge and then to adjacent bikeways, such as the Clinton Street until 72nd Avenue. And from 72nd East, it is designated a bikeway. And so we really did focus.
What is?
Powell Boulevard is designated a bikeway in our transportation system plan. And there's a project to provide bike way improvements from 72nd to 92nd.
Where is the current bikeway from 72nd?
It's in policy alone. The designations, because of the grid and the way the streets are adjacent to Powell from 72nd to I-205, there's not a good connection through there. And so that's where the bikeways, the adjacent bikeways, are then directed on 72nd and 71st to Powell. And today there is not any physical improvement for bikes, but that our plans and projects would identify providing a future bikeway from 72nd East.
I think that'd be really helpful.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Would be. So you could do that with the existing sidewalks where they're at?
Not necessarily. There may be some movement depending on the alternatives that we were to choose. And actually, I'm going to jump to that in a moment, so I'll wait until I have the visuals up.
Okay.
We in the beginning of the project started to look, could we do something for bikes between 9th and 72nd, and without moving the curb and getting additional right-of-way, there's really not. So the backup is a wider lane on the outside.
Right, and again, the only reason I asked that was I just don't understand why we're concerned whether or not you can ride a bike under the underpass when both sides of Powell.
Right.
On east and west of the underpass, you can't.
In part, it's because it's not just getting along Powell, it's getting across Powell. And the underpass where you dip down, it starts to create a moat. So if you're walking or biking, you have very limited ways.
But there's an elevated walkway.
You could walk along the road on 17th. There is. So you can walk along it, which many people would say does not feel safe and is very sharp corners. Bicyclists do ride along it, and it's currently not meeting accessibility standards. And so it's usable, but people want to see it made more improved, so they'll actually, more people will use it. There's also issues of people who are camping under the underpass. So one option is to try to provide good alternatives, accessible paths over the railroad to the north or to the south. Community preference would be for an at-grade crossing of the railroad tracks, but that would take approval from ODOT Rail Division and the railroad, which they typically aren't supportive of. But the other would be to improve the underpass to the extent we can, or provide more of a connection that gets you from the south to the north. And what we really have learned is that it's a barrier for someone who wants to be in the Brooklyn neighborhood, you know, someone who lives in the Brooklyn and wants to go to a school or a grocery store north of Powell. They either need to go down to 13th or up to 21st. So it's just a very long stretch where it's a double barrier by the railroad track, so you've got the two working in concert. So in part, that's why we also look to really improving the Milwaukee intersection to provide a good signalized crossing, add bike lanes onto Milwaukee to help people have a good route to connect up and to Clinton, for example, as well as then if through the Milwaukee Light Rail Project, if we can get a better path to help people connect from Brooklyn to Hosford. Okay, continuing on. We had identified some islands and improvements between 22nd and 26th Avenue, but there were a couple of alternatives that provided even more improvements with medians and trees. However, in order to have those approved, it would involve some access management, some restrictions on turning movements, limitations on access into the neighborhood. That requires a greater level of involvement, engagement. And so we capture those as a further study to work with the adjacent property owners if there's approval for that or support for that. It's very similar. There's a recommendation for a marked crosswalk either at 61st or 62nd. The one at 62nd would involve constructing a island in the middle of the intersection, which would enable you to turn off of Powell onto the cross streets, but you would not be able to cut through on 62nd Avenue. It would reduce movements from 62nd. So that does have impact to some local circulation and access. And there was a split in the community over support for that. So we want to capture that there is interest in pursuing this island, which would have would make for a good pedestrian or bike crossing, but it does have trade-offs. Some neighbors want to see it because they want less people cutting through their neighborhood. Others don't. So we're trying to capture that. But it's going to take some more work. In addition, we make some recommendations for further study on bikeway from 72nd to 92nd. And this is what I was talking about, Commissioner Leonard. There is a very different environment north of Powell, on the north side of Powell and on the south side of Powell in terms of the existing right-of-way configuration and the amount of space you have between the curb and the property line. So you see here, this is on the north side in this photo, there's a very generous planter strip that could be used to build either move the curb and do a bike lane, or it could become an elevated bike path. And so it does present some opportunities. On the south side, there's not quite as much room, but there is some room to work with there, and perhaps with some reconfiguration of some of the parking lots and retaining wall with the sound wall could get a bike path next to the sidewalk without moving the curb. So we came up with a series of alternatives that you could configure in order to provide a bikeway, ranging from a traditional bike lane up to a more of a cycle track or bike path elevated. And we asked for community preference, and we talked with ODOT for a while about these things. These are innovative treatments, and it's going to take further work on really deciding on what a design could be, and we see the Bicycle Master Plan and working with ODOT further. There is a project in the Transportation System Plan to look at this, so perhaps when we have funding for that. but this is going to take further study, but we at least tried to get a step closer to some recommendations on what it could be instead of just a traditional bike lane. We had heard from the community they didn't want to be in a bike lane next to all of that traffic on Powell, and so we tried to look beyond. The preference that we got polling at our open houses was a different treatment on the north side and the south side because of the conditions. On the south side, the community really wanted to preserve the existing trees to the extent possible. The north side, there was more room to work with. The recommendation was for a raised bike lane, which is similar. There's one in Eugene and in Bend, and that's the photo here. It gives an example of a raised bikeway or bike lane. And that would work best probably with driveways in combination because it could be mountable. On the south side, the recommendation is for a cycle track or a elevated bike path adjacent to the sidewalk, buffered from the roadway by planter strips, street trees, and then brought out at the intersections in order to cross more similar, drop down, and be more like a bike lane at that point and crossing at intersections to help reduce turning conflicts. And did you have any more questions on that one? Okay. The final recommendation for further study is to look at those public parking lots. There's a series of public parking lots, about 8 of them, that hold just over 100 public parking spaces on the south side of Powell between 52nd and 80th. And some of them are well utilized and serve the adjacent businesses and residences, but some of them are underutilized, and the community felt that they create a space that is kind of a dead zone. There's no eyes on the street, through this process, we thought, how might we activate that space? Parks, stormwater management, it was an opportunity, but what we heard back was, how about development? Let's see housing and businesses go in there that'll activate the street and put more eyes on the street. That is well beyond the scope of what we could achieve. It would involve looking at the feasibility of those being developable parcels as well as the zoning and looking at the zoning. So when we presented to Planning Commission and shared this recommendation with them, they were receptive thought that there could be merit, particularly if you looked at the future of PAL in terms of transit. So there may be down the road a day to really look at what an opportunities these could be. So we just came up with conceptual drawings to try to articulate the idea that we were hearing from the community. This is not a drawn out, precise, but more of here's what the kind of thing we should look to see if it's feasible. Perhaps in a future study in partnership with the Bureau of Planning. At this time, that is not a funded study, I should really clarify. Finally, implementation. The plan does identify about $100.2 million in priority improvements that are the top priority. ODOT has already allocated about roughly $500,000 towards building some priority pedestrian and bicycle improvements. PDOT is prepared to dedicate about $100,000 to build new curb ramps during their preservation project. And we have begun working with the state to advance getting state approval, because we need state traffic engineer approval of many of the priority elements, including the 6 marked crosswalks, and define the appropriate crossing safety treatments. As of November, the submittal for the first 2 marked crosswalks has been made to the state traffic engineer, one at mid-block between 57th and 58th, and the other at 75th Avenue. And the hopes is that we can prioritize some of these improvements to be coordinated and constructed with the preservation project. Continuing on, we're also working with the state on making some improvements to the existing pedestrian school crossing at 47th Avenue, including some of the signal heads, replacing them, and trying to really highlight, make it more clear to drivers that this is a pedestrian-activated signal and a school crossing. We also are working on some of the short-term improvements to 17th Underpass, such as the mirrors, so people can see around the corners. TriMet's working to implement some bus stop changes. And Friends of Trees, they received a grant through the Bureau of Environmental Services for their community benefit program of $218,000. And I've been in conversation with them. They are interested in working with the neighborhood volunteers to do some street tree plantings, particularly in the Brooklyn and Hosford Abernathy neighborhoods. Money does need to be spent within the project area of the Big Pipe, East Side Big Pipe, but part of PAL does fit within that area. So I'm hopeful of that partnership. And the plan also identifies other potential funding sources for additional elements of the plan, but those would need to be applied for various grants or MTIP, for example. Finally, staff recommendations are to adopt the InterPAL Boulevard Streetscape Plan as non-binding city policy and direct staff to engage in activities to further implement the improvements described in the plan, and direct PDOT to amend the transportation system plan to update the InterPAL Boulevard Streetscape Plan project or add multiple projects, since currently it just goes to 50th Avenue. And to acknowledge the excellent work and dedication of the members of the PAL Citizen Working Group and other community members who have helped to shape the plan through the participation in this planning process. And thank you. I'll take questions.
The city has a Disabilities Advisory Committee.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've had contact with them or had them engaged in this process. I didn't see anybody on your list of community people or city people that were engaged from that committee.
You're correct in that there was not a member of our citizen working group that was from the Disability Advisory Committee. The committee was recently reformulated. I am acting as the PDOT liaison to their transportation subcommittee, so I do have a relationship with Jan and Michael and other members of the committee. This project started before that committee had been formed, so we didn't have a representative. But I'll hope that you'll find that there is a mind to improving accessibility in the plan. While not on the citizen working group, there were participants in the planning process who were people with disabilities.
So are the ADA changes, does that make Powell Boulevard for the streetscape section ADA compliant?
If we are to construct improvements, they wouldn't have to be, new improvements need to meet ADA. Modifications, adjustments, to the best of our ability, we need to try to meet ADA. So if we were to, say, rebuild the 17th underpass and redo that again, we'd have to build it to ADA. If we were to go in and do modifications, we need to do the best we can and document if we haven't, why, for meeting it. So it's rather nuanced. But this streetscape plan does bring it much closer to meeting ADA, particularly with adding, there are many corners where there are not ramps, where there should be ramps for crossing PAL, or ramps that are substandard. And so that's in part, we were looking to improve those. And there were ramps that were placed by the state during phase one from Ross Island to 50th, and so we'd be looking to add more in the second phase of the preservation project.
I'd ask that you invite somebody from the Disabilities Advisory Group to advise you. I found even like to curb cuts, the experience of a person walking and a person in a wheelchair is quite different with curb cuts.
Absolutely.
And even the one out here on 5th and Madison does not work very well. I took it in a wheelchair, and it almost took me. So I would suggest that in order to make sure, and it sort of struck me looking at one of the pictures on the front of a bus stop in terms of the space between the curb and the bus waiting area, I don't know if that's sufficient for a, and I don't know if that's ADA in terms of trying to get a wheelchair through.
There are design challenges, and part of what we are trying to do in this plan is to better coordinate where the bus stops are and where we have our crossings. And you know, to the extent that we can acquire additional right-of-way or work within the existing right-of-way, I'm glad to hear this from you very much. We recently, Commissioner Adams and others of us went on a roll and stroll with a Citizens Disability Advisory Committee. I understand that you had done so previously, and it is a very valuable experience to even have that limited opportunity to experience rolling through our city streets. And so I very much agree that we need to do what we can to make it more accessible.
Well, and my suggestion
is to have a liaison.
Well, is to have them look at this plan to make sure that it is consistent with what their needs are, so that if the committee itself actually hasn't had a chance, mm-hmm. I know you said the transportation subcommittee of it, but mm-hmm. if they really have not had a chance to look at the entire report, perhaps that could they could provide some additional information before we get too far down the track in terms of the actual changes.
Mm-hmm. I will do so, yes.
Thank you.
Are there other questions?
I do believe we have some testimony, including members of our PAL Citizen Working Group. But first, I do want to give Ross an opportunity to speak here on behalf of ODOT.
Thanks, April. I'm Ross Kevlin with ODOT Region 1 Planning. We're at 123 Northwest Flanders in Portland. ODOT supports the Council's adoption of the Inter-PAL Streetscape Plan. The plan was developed with active participation from ODOT staff, including the planning section, our traffic section, our roadway design section, who took a look at the traffic analysis and the design alternatives. So we're sure this is a plan we can live with, and it's a plan we can implement if given the construction dollars, which we don't need to talk about here. One caveat I'll throw out that is, as April has stated many times in her discussion, this is a conceptual plan. It provides a good understanding and direction for future improvements, but there are a lot of details that we need to examine in greater detail at a further development stage. One example, as mentioned, was the location of street trees. Another is the location of unsignalized crosswalks. I'm glad to report here that the state traffic engineer has approved two unsignalized crosswalk locations in the vicinity of 76th and 56th Avenues. So those will be provided as part of the preservation project coming up in 2009 with the funding that ODOT set aside, the $500,000 for bike ped improvements on PAL. Regarding that preservation project, our public affairs folks asked me to let the city know that they'll be meeting with neighborhood associations in the vicinity of that project from 50th to I-205 in the spring, and there'll be an open house at some point before construction begins to talk about aspects of the project, like noise impacts and other construction impacts, particularly. Last of all, I'd like to thank PDOT staff and the community for the time and effort they put into developing this plan, and particularly April, whose patience, conscientiousness, attention to detail, et cetera, was a key component to a successful conclusion. So thanks, April.
Thank you, Ross. I want to thank Ross as well. He's been he's played dual role as both our grant manager as well as a representative from ODOT on the project, and attended our citizen working group meetings in the evenings, and appreciate his help. So thank you, Ross. I would like to invite up three members of our Powell Citizen Working Group to begin with testimony, if I may. Paul Loney. And Catherine Knotson and Marilee Tilstrom. And I'll clear myself out of the way.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
I'll go first. My name is Paul Loney, 2945 Southeast 65th, the South Tabor Neighborhood Association. And also, before I forget, I'd like to thank the staff from PDOT and ODOT. They were I've been on a couple of these citizen working groups, and this is one of the ones where the staff was really quite willing to listen and to work with us on ideas that the citizens had. I look at this as a long overdue review of the Powell Boulevard project. It's been 30-some years since it went in, and nobody's looked at it since then as to what's working and what's not. And we all know that the inner neighborhoods are more and more popular, and it's time that Powell Boulevard stopped being a sacrifice area. Along Powell Boulevard and the blocks, one or two blocks inside of Powell Boulevard, just yesterday, once again, I took a long walk along Powell Boulevard, and it's not a friendly place to walk. The sidewalks are in poor shape. Some say there's a bus stop about on 67, I believe, that the shelter is in a puddle of water whenever it rains, and that's not very conducive for transit, getting people out of their cars, and bicycles. If you want to ride your bike along the sidewalk, that's why we need curb cuts, not only for folks with disability, but so you can, as Commissioner Leonard was talking about, get on your bicycle and go up and down, because some of the side streets don't go through east-west, and Powell Boulevard does. And so I think that's great that we're looking at that. And also I wanted to really comment about that April Burleson brought up, that it's a barrier, Powell Boulevard, between neighborhoods north and south. And it shouldn't be that way. And because it's a barrier, people don't want to walk and cross. And it promotes livability problems, not just the crime, but also simple things like graffiti that we're trying to get rid of. Because without eyes on the street, people out there for graffiti, throwing trash, you see cars that are stolen, abandoned. There's less of that recently. But I think it's make a big difference if Powell Boulevard stops being a barrier and it becomes part of the community. And I think this plan will go a long way towards that. And so that's basically all I wanted to say, and encourage you folks to pass this and to work with citizens to find ways to fully fund this project. Thank you.
My name is Catherine Knotson, 2419 Southeast 78th Avenue, South Tabor neighborhood. I will read a short statement. When I moved to South Tabor 20 and a half years ago, the words Mount Hood Freeway raised hackles on the backs of people's necks. The proposed planned Mount Hood Freeway route was on Southeast Division Street to Southeast 48th Avenue and turned south between Southeast 48th and Southeast 52nd Avenue to Southeast Powell Boulevard. Then the route turned east on Southeast Powell Boulevard. It has been, I don't know whose idea it was to work with the eight neighborhoods or to create one streetscape plan versus work with four neighborhoods each to create two streetscape plans. Creating a streetscape plan with eight neighborhoods was smarter and more cost-effective. I acknowledge Ross Kevlin of ODOT. He attended every Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape meeting except one. He received a thank you from letter from Doug Klotz, the Richmond neighborhood, which was published in the Southeast Examiner. I was glad and rejoiced when I saw it, and I thank Doug for his kind letter. During the Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape process, several words came to my mind. Renew, restore, reconnect, recover, and reconcile. I see the Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape plan as a tool to repair the damage left in the wake of the proposed Mount Hood Freeway plan. There was and is much residual anger about the Mount Hood Freeway plan. I credit Mike Coleman of PDOT with bringing to mind that this plan proposes to recreate the appealing boulevard appearance with the purpose of functioning like a welcoming front porch versus a back alley. The Mount Hood Freeway plan divided PDOT and ODOT from citizens. The Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape plan process has brought together eight neighborhoods, PDOT and ODOT, and has reestablished collaborative working relationships. My hope is the participants will reflect on the goodwill the Inner Powell Boulevard streetscape plan anticipates will be brought to fruition when this plan is implemented and that the residual anger from the Mount Hood Freeway plan will melt away. It sets a precedent for revival of the boulevard, and I believe residents are eager for it. It is time to celebrate. I ask that you adopt this Powell Boulevard streetscape plan.
Hi, my name is Marilee Tilstrom. I represent my neighborhood association, Hossford Abernathy, and I joined the group for just a basic wake-up cry that my neighbors who live on the north side of Powell could not get across Powell to the park on the south side. There is a light at 26th, there's a crosswalk at 24th, and a light at 21st. But with the growing amount of families in my neighborhood, they simply wanted to cross at 24th. And 24th is, you almost have to have, you know, a flag, a dog, four kitty carriers and everything to be noticed at 24th. So I joined the group 2 years ago. Again, I'd like to say that I was not alone in total attendance. Everybody came. There was few times when somebody was missing from the total group, and we met monthly. Another concern, especially from my neighborhood, of course, is the 17th underpass, which is just not, you talk about avoiding driving. There's hardly any way to get to my bank or my post office unless I'm in the car, and as strange as that sounds, those underpasses are simply not safe for anybody to walk on, either side, Powell on the north or Powell on the south. And so I think it's really hard because this, again, is the barrier that we're faced with. We're faced with the traffic trying to get to the park, and we're faced with traffic trying to get down to the businesses at Milwaukee and Powell. So I guess I'm saying anything that you can do to help would be wonderful. I mean, we need this cleaned up, and we especially need the access because it has been a barrier. I have a slight chuckle at Mayor Potter's comment about standstill on Powell, and quite frankly, we're happy because that's when it's quiet, and that's when we don't hear the traffic, and we're not bothered by people honking and sort of the arrogance of the driver that leaves the stoplight at 21st in Powell and doesn't need to stop until they get to 26th. And it can be quite noisy, and it can be quite brings out the worst in a lot of people. So I hope you'll help us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks. Is there anyone signed up to testify?
That was all who signed up.
Okay, is there anyone here who wishes to address this issue? Please call a vote.
Adams?
Well, April, Ross, the entire team, citizens, thank you for turning out an excellent project. Our work before us is to find the money beyond that which has been budgeted to implement the full vision of this plan, and there are phases that yet need to be completed and funding to be found to complete those phasings. So this is the beginning of the end, but it is very much a lot of work left to do. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Leonard?
I, too, use Powell a lot, so these proposed changes are really needed, and I am very committed to doing what I can to help try to fund implementation of some of these changes, particularly to the extent that we're a city that tries to sent and encourage people to use alternative transportation, particularly the biking provision. I'm really focused on the proposal between 72nd and 92nd because that
you're right, there's great access on the side streets, both sides up till 72nd, but east, limited alternatives to get on the other side of 205. So it's the first I'd heard about that, so it's actually very exciting to hear about. So I'm very happy to focus on that and do what I can to help. Thank you all for all your good work. Aye.